Jesus is our example. Jesus is our example in two different ways, I would say. One of them, he is our example of what God was like. In Colossians, we're told that he is the image of the invisible God. What we couldn't see, he, in skin and blood and bone, showed us what God was like. And that one, I think a lot of people normally think about. But Jesus is also our example of humanity. Jesus lived as a human, and he showed us what humans can really live like. And so we, the church, as followers of Jesus, should love as Jesus loved. We should teach what Jesus taught, and we should obey as Jesus obeyed, and so many more things on top of that. Some testimonies of people who are in this church. A few months ago, I'd sat down and talked with people and just asked, what's your story? What has God done in your life? And these were some of the things that they said about Damascus Road. And this is some of what makes me proud of this church and some of the things that I want to see this church hold on to as we go forward from here. Three of the things that stuck out to me from it was that as I was thinking of what is it about our church, what is it that I want us to hold on to, the first thing was that people seemed to be gripped by love. That was what they said. I came in, I didn't really want to be in church, but I just felt loved, and I wanted to be around it. That is what grabs people first. But second, that they're then grown in truth, that it's not just we're here and we all love each other, but there's somewhere that we're growing. There's something that we're learning. And if people just come in and they don't actually learn more about God and about Jesus, we haven't reached it. So first, people come in and they're just gripped by love. But then they're grown in truth. They want to learn more about this. And then people are glad to serve. And it says, wow, I found a place where I can get involved. I found a place where I can actually do something. And that is eventually what we're wanting to see, is that each person, as love and truth transforms their lives, they're serving others. Amen? But that's not the main point of what I want to talk about today. The main point I want to talk about is that we're called to be like Jesus. And the crazy thing is that we are truly expected to be like Jesus. That's actually an expectation that Jesus has. And we're going to look at some of those verses that say that. But the amazing thing is that we're actually really, truly empowered to do it. That it's not just us having to do it in our own strength. If it were, we would fail pretty bad at it. But with him, we're able to do it. I remember being in a conference at least 10 years ago. And a pastor had given a good sermon, a good talk about a specific topic of how Christ loves his church. And at the end of the service, one of the things they asked is that if anyone felt like that was the message that was supposed to be the main theme of the rest of their ministry, to please stand up. At the time, I didn't know that 10 years later I would be a pastor, that I would have this sort of thing going in my life anyway. But I did know that I wanted to be serving God. And so I honestly thought hard about that question when he had asked it. And part of me said yes, part of me said no, part of me was like, oh, this is a great topic. But part of me said, well, there's so many other things. And I didn't go forward for that one. I didn't feel like that was the answer. But it stuck in my head, that question of what would be the main theme of ministry, of what I would do. What if I could get one message across, what would that be? And that stuck with me for years, for a decade at least. And as I was seeing what Kent was kind of thinking through for last week, of you're leaving a church, what is it that you say? What can you leave with the church? And I was thinking of myself this morning. This is my first sermon as the pastor. What can I say? What is that important? This is the topic that I feel might be that answer. That if I was asked the question about this sermon, I might raise my hand and say, this will be the thing that is the one thing I would like to leave with people. And if I, in the years to come, have a service like Kent where it's my last service, maybe it'll be pretty similar to this one, because I feel like it's that important that we are expected, that we are empowered, that we are called to be like Jesus. The first part of that is that we are to love as Jesus loved. Jesus was asked one time by a guy who was thinking he was very scholarly, what is the greatest commandment? How do you read the law? And Jesus responded like this. The greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That is the most important thing that you could get out of the whole law. Now this was already things that were in the Old Testament law. They both come from the book of Deuteronomy. So Jesus was just restating what was already there. He said, this is the most important thing, greatest commandment is love. But then there was another verse that stuck out to me when in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus is speaking just with his disciples, with his 12 closest people, and he says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, my question is, how is this a new command? My command is this, love one another. He already told us that the greatest command and the second one is love God, love others. This seems exactly the same, right? So how is this a new command? Because he shows us what that means to love. He says, as I loved you, so love one another. There are so many ways that people define the word love today. So many thoughts that we have of this is love. I love this, I love that. We love each other, this is love. And sometimes maybe that can get confusing of, if we're told to love, what does that really mean? And Jesus says, here's the command. If you want to know what that is, see what I did. The way I loved you, love one another. That is the standard of what love is. We are commanded, Jesus said, as I loved you, love one another. Love as Jesus loved. And that's something I'm saying, I see in this church already that people are gripped by love. I want to see that continue and grow, that we would be learning as much as we can about Jesus and about what he did and about the way that he loved so that we can really love as he loved. That it wouldn't just be, we're guessing this might be what love is. We would know. The second part is that we would teach what Jesus taught. In what's called the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, Jesus has lived, he's died, he's resurrected, and he's shown himself to those people that were his disciples. And right before he leaves, he's telling them, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what I'm sending you out. I'm commissioning you to do. And the Great Commission says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go, or as you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus was telling these disciples, teach them what I taught you. And in our church, that will be my heart and my desire for what we do, is that what we've seen, what we have heard, what we have learned from Jesus, we will teach to others. As I said, well, you want to see people grown in truth. Well, what is that standard of truth? What Jesus has said. Also in the book of John, chapter 14. And here's just a side note. I love, as part of Scripture, I think the thing that has had my most focus and attention in the last year, maybe more, is John chapter 13 through 17. The reason why is that was the night before Jesus died. He knows that he's going to die. He knows that it's going to be a huge, shocking experience for all of his disciples. And so he knows this, and then what is it that he says to his disciples? What is it that he really wants them to grab? This is Jesus' kind of last message before he dies. What would you say? And to me, that seemed very important. So I've been reading through that because that's the largest portion we have of it. And so Jesus' commandment, love as I loved you, was in that. But here's another one. In chapters 14 and 15, I put some together so you could see they go together. All this I've spoken while still with you. This is Jesus. He said, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. So again, Jesus has taught them. The Holy Spirit will remind them of this. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. But it doesn't stop there. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus is saying, I've taught you. The Holy Spirit that I'm going to send, he's going to teach you. But you are supposed to teach others. You're supposed to testify about me. You're supposed to pass that along. Teach what I have taught you. Pretty simple. The third one, which is maybe the craziest one of all to me, maybe not. They all are so intriguing. But the third one that I see that I want us to focus on as a church is to obey as Jesus obeyed. Another way is to say, do as Jesus did. In Matthew chapter 6 is where we find the Lord's Prayer. Many of you have heard the Lord's Prayer, have said the Lord's Prayer, maybe learned it when you were a child. And he starts off the prayer like this. He says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is how Jesus wants them to pray. Now, prayer is not something that you should just do and not kind of live into, if that makes sense. If you're praying for God to do something, don't try to stop him from doing it. Does that make sense? Sometimes people pray, God help me, and then they sit still, like, God, pull me out of the water, but I'm just going to like not try to tread water while I'm here. So Jesus says, this is how you should pray, but then Jesus actually lived this. He says, your kingdom come. And if you read through what Jesus has said throughout the gospel, so often it's saying Jesus went out and he preached about the kingdom of God. That he's saying to people, if I'm casting out demons by the hand of God, then you can know that the kingdom is actually among you. Jesus fulfilled that. He said, pray for the kingdom to come. And then he lived out what the kingdom was like. He says, your will be done. And Jesus, of all people ever lived, did God's will perfectly. He didn't say, God, I hope it happens, but I'm not going to do anything about it. He says, pray that God's will be done and do God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus, again, is our example of that. He was the one who knew what heaven was like and lived on earth and lived out what heaven was. But again, in the book of John, to further point this out, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I don't speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Jesus is saying, I didn't do it by myself. And that's where I think we most often get our mindset wrong. We think of Jesus as doing everything on his own. That Jesus, because of his godness, lived perfectly. And so we don't think that we can do it because we're human and he had his godness. But the way that Jesus speaks so often is he says, I'm not doing this on my own. It's not my godness doing it. He was a human. And he said, it's not me. I'm paying attention to what God is saying. I'm listening to what he's saying, and then I speak it. I see what he does, and then I do it. It's the Father at work in me. So when I say obey as Jesus obeyed, that means you're not having to do it on your own. That doesn't mean that you're trying to make yourself perfect. It's that you are keeping your attention on God, that you are listening to what he's saying. You're looking for the kinds of things he's doing, and you just follow in that. Does that make sense? I'm trying to be as clear and simple as possible, because in some ways the gospel is so clearly simple, but we jump over it. We don't stop and think about it, that we are called and expected. This is so huge of a statement when Jesus says, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. I have done it, you will do it. I have done it, you will do it. Jesus didn't say, I have done it, you sit there. I have done it, you will do it, and they will do even greater things than these. Now, if I heard someone just walk up and say, what Jesus did, you're going to do greater things than Jesus, I would probably think they're either crazy, they're blasphemous, they're arrogant, or it's some kind of heresy. The only way that I get out of that is that Jesus is the one saying it. What does he mean? How am I expected to do something greater? And it's not that what you will do is somehow greater than the effect of what happened in the cross. But he just said, look, it's not going to be you doing it for any of the credit or glory anyway. But if you are in my Father isn't done working in this world. He's not done showing his miracles in this world. He's not done making heaven live and be shown on earth. And so if you will just listen to him and follow him, obey him as I obeyed, God will continue to make this go even further and even more into the whole world. That is what is expected out of us. We, the church, should obey as Jesus obeyed. Now, there's a danger on both sides, because I think I've heard half of this sermon preached many times. Sometimes I've heard half of the sermon preached where we leave Jesus out of it. Instead of saying love as Jesus loved, we just say love. Instead of teach as Jesus taught, it's just you must teach. Instead of obey as Jesus obeyed, it's just you must obey. You must love. You must teach. You must obey. And those sometimes seem like very hard, harsh churches, because it's just do this, do this, do this, do this, and you're given absolutely no help to do it. And that often leads, first, it leads to ignorance. We're told love, and we have no idea how to do it. Or we think we know how to do it, and we see so many people who say, but I love them. But if it's not the kind of love that is as Jesus' love, you can call it what you want to, it's not obeying his command. And that can be true for the way that we treat people outside the church. It can be true of the way we love people inside the church. We say, well, I'm just loving my brother. And you're doing something to him that is so not like Jesus did it. Stop calling that love, or stop saying that you're obeying God's commandment. It leads to this ignorance because we don't really know what love is. It can lead to heresy because then we're just teaching whatever we're coming up with. It's not what Jesus taught. It's just, oh, I think I'll talk about this today. And it can lead into some very weird, very unbiblical things because we're not staying in the focus on what Jesus taught. And also, it can just lead to legalism and judgmentalism, because when we're just told obey, but it's not obey in the way Jesus obeyed, we're doing it of ourselves and we're expecting other people to do it of themselves, and it's you didn't follow the rules the way I told you to. And it becomes very judgmental and very legalistic very quick. So there's a danger when we leave Jesus out of this equation that we must do it as Jesus did it. I think there's also churches that I've heard the other half preached, where we take us out of the equation. we're not expected to do anything. It's simply, well, Jesus loved, Jesus taught, Jesus obeyed. Very true, very good. These are very to the point. But then if we're not expected to be like Jesus, we're not obeying what Jesus told us to do. If we're to be Christians, little Christs, how can we call ourselves Christians if we don't live like Jesus lived? And so it leads to apathy, because we'll just say, Jesus loved everyone. I'm going to sit here and not really, whatever, I'm not spending my time loving people. And we become very apathetic. It can lead to a strong immaturity when we say, Jesus was the perfect teacher, but then we don't learn it well enough to tell others. And so we become really just immature and sit there and don't do much. And it can lead to stagnation, because Jesus obeyed, Jesus was perfect, but we sit in our church and don't reach out and love like he did. We don't teach other people what he taught, and we just kind of settle for status quo. I pray that none of those things is what happens in this church, that we will have both parts of that message spoken boldly and lived out, that we love as Jesus loved, we teach what Jesus taught, and we obey as Jesus obeyed. But the question becomes, did they really mean this? Because here's something for me. I can be, if I want to say it in a bad way, I'm very critical sometimes of sermons. And if I say it in a good way, I'm just very discerning. But my thought can often be, just because we say it or we find a verse in the Bible, is that actually what is expected of us? Because sometimes people can take one verse and then they think that that becomes a formula that we apply directly to our lives. Something that was said to a specific person at a specific time for a specific circumstance, we sometimes try to make a formula. I'll give a very short example. There's a man in the Bible, he had this disease, a skin disease. He's told that he's supposed to go to a river, bathe in it 7 times, he comes out and he's healed. He does. This is great. But if we make a formula out of it and I say, I'm sorry, you have a toothache, you should dump yourself in the Maastricht River 7 times and you'll come out healed. Maybe that will work for some people, but I don't believe that's a formula we're always supposed to make happen. Anyone say amen?
Amen.
If you're sick, do you want me to tell you to jump in the Maastricht River? Anyone? Maybe God will have me do that sometime, but don't expect that automatically. So sometimes I want to make sure that it's not just I'm saying something because I find a verse in the Bible and I make a formula out of it. So did the disciples really think that this was meant for more than just them? Because Jesus said this to mostly his 12 disciples, sometimes 11 after Judas was dead. So let's look at what some of them had to say. Peter, who's often seen as Jesus' protege, the one that he put in charge to do church stuff afterward, Peter says this: to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Jesus is our example. Amen? We should follow in his steps, which means do the way he did. The picture I had when I read this had to do with footprints in the snow. How many of you come from a country where you played in the snow as a child? We have some. I know some people that didn't get to play in the snow. That's too bad. That's unfortunate. I love snow. I love warm weather too. But there was something that we would often do as kids, as part of a game, where it's sort of a follow the leader, where you walk through the snow, and then the person walking behind you has to be in those same footprints that you made. This is also used as more than just a game. It's actually something a lot of people will do if they're like hiking through snow. For those of you who are bicyclists, it's sort of like drafting off of someone. It makes it easier when you don't have to make your own footsteps, but you're just following in the footsteps of someone else. And we're told, follow in Jesus' footsteps. That you would follow in his steps. I'm sure many people have heard the kind of little poem called Footprints in the Sand. This idea that there are two sets of footprints, you and Jesus, and then through the hard times of your life, there's only one set of footprints, and Jesus says to them, that was because I was carrying you. And it's a good picture. But I would like to add to that, and this one may not become nearly as worldwide famous, but Footprints in the Snow is this. through the good times, through the bad times, there was only ever one set of footprints. And Jesus says to you, it's because I was walking in front of you and you just follow in my footsteps. He set us an example. And it's not always through the easy times. Peter said, Christ suffered. But he set you an example that even in those things, you will follow in his steps. Paul, who was not one of the 12 disciples, Jesus, as far as we know, before Jesus ascended to heaven, didn't speak to Paul about any of this stuff. But then later, he came back and gave visions to him. But Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So we have this step that it wasn't just, well, I'm supposed to do what Jesus is doing. It's Jesus does it, I'm doing it. Hey, you start doing it after me. Just like that line of people in the snow. It's not just one person, but we're all doing it. So Paul expected we would follow in Jesus' steps. Let's look at John, the one who died last of the original 12, the one that we're told is the beloved disciple. And he says, if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him, Jesus. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. I'm not trying to find one verse and take it out of context here. I hope that you can see that this is truly an expectation that has been put throughout the Bible, said by various people, that we are truly expected to live in this way like Jesus did. And over this next year, I would love to see our church grow in this. That when someone asks, what should we do? We think, well, what did Jesus do? And how can we act like that? We're going to be talking a lot about Jesus over the next year, just so you know. Because if you think, well, I've heard about Jesus, I've seen some things about Jesus, but I don't really know so much about really what this is. If someone tells me to love as Jesus loved, I know he died on a cross, but I don't know much else of what he did. We want to look through that, of how did Jesus live as a human on this earth, because he was our example of what humanity can really be. Something that I would love for, well, I'm going to have this, where I want us to repeat this phrase until it gets into all of our heads and all of our hearts as the church. And not just today, but over the coming weeks, where it says, we, the church, where we, it's us, as followers of Jesus, will love as Jesus loved, will teach what Jesus taught, and obey as Jesus obeyed. It does something for you to sometimes speak it out of your mouth. So I'm going to have you all say that along with me, if you would, on the count of three. One, two, three. We, the church, as followers of Jesus, will love as Jesus loved, teach what Jesus taught, and obey as Jesus obeyed. You're going to hear that more often, but I want that to be in your head and in your heart, because honestly, if you get to your deathbed and someone asks you, what was the most important thing that you learned to do? And you would say, be like Jesus. You will not have wasted your last words. There is the power verse for this week. And it's not just going to be for this week. Honestly, because I want everyone to remember this. And we might have this as a power verse for about, I don't know, a month or 2 months until people actually start getting this idea that I want this to be something that is part of our heads and our hearts, not as some legalistic thing to do, but because it tells us very shortly what it is we were called to do. Jesus said, I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. If you want to know, what's my next step as a Christian? Look at Jesus' example that you should do as I have done for you. And I want Shinshin to memorize that. I want Rio to actually memorize that and be able to say it, as well as Herman. I want Steve, I want all of the servant leaders to really be able to know this in their heads and their hearts. Marika, Yossi, I want Tom, I've barely known you, but I want you to know this. The whole Smank family, each one of you. I mean, that is how serious I am. I would like Basil to have this memorized.
What about Laura?
Laura, too. Everyone who's in either of the Connect groups, I want us as a church to truly know this. Jesus said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. That Jesus is our example. That we as a church would really have this in us as we go forward. That this city would see that we are like Jesus. Because if they choose then that they say, I don't like Jesus. I don't want to be around your church. Okay. We've shown them Jesus. We have at least shown them honestly who it is. But there will be many people who say, wow, Jesus I can go for. I didn't really like church. I wasn't really excited about religion. But when I saw Jesus, that was worthwhile.